Anthony Fox.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How you doing? It's the Wednesday, April 15th, dun-dun-dun, edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by our friends at Quality Seamless Gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. Get a free quote for Quality Seamless Gutters by calling 728-4002. These are all 406 numbers. TalkBack also sponsored by Y West Storage, secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit today, call 510-0590. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, offering heavy-duty truck sales, parts, and service. Call Bruckner's 541-9097. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Call Busy Bees at 550-3219 and get a free estimate. And by Gomer's Diesel Incorporated, diesel repair, parts, and service in Missoula. Give them a call today, 728-7620. That's Gomer's Diesel.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Well, good morning once again, everyone. It is Wednesday, April 15th. I think, Nick Christensen, something important is happening today, but I just can't quite think of what it is.
Well, not for me. I've did my taxes in February, so.
Well, I'm him, yes. Yeah,
some people like to wait till the last day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the mail, I'm not sure exactly what the deadline is, 8 o'clock tonight or something like that, because I do know people who in the past have waited until the very, very last second because they're just resentful of sending in their tax forms, just waiting until the last second and dropping it in there and saying, to heck with you, right? So, anyway. I've never worked like that because I'm too much of a chicken.
Yeah. Or, you know, you hear the stories of people paying, like, parking tickets in pennies and stuff like that. Yeah. Hey, people want to be petty. That's fine. Whatever. Whatever they want to do. And, I mean, obviously some people push their taxes off because it's a burden. Mine's super easy. It's just a couple W-2s. I don't own a lot of things or anything like that. So it's super easy for me to do mine. But, yeah, people with a bunch of assets and things like that, and I can understand wanting to wait and procrastinate. I definitely did that in school from time to time. So,
well, I do know in my many years of doing this job and talking with people over the years on tax day, there are a lot of folks who simply are downright stubborn about, you know, sending their payment, especially if they have to pay in, right? They pay in early. They never pay in early. They wait until like 11:59:59 last night to throw their thing in there and then just wave bye bye. And I can understand that. I don't know. So yeah. I'm wondering what you guys are thinking on April 15th. It is tax day. I'm really interested to find out how many people are getting a refund. We're getting a little bit of a refund this year, so that's good. And our friend Walt Kiro has done our taxes for many years, so he's really, really good to work with, and there's never any question as to what's going on with Walt Kiro. So
I know a lot of people were surprised last year. Obviously, I think a lot of people had to pay the state, which they, you know, weren't used to doing.
Right.
You know, because most people don't change their allowance. You know, you claim what you claim, and, you know, you just kind of cross your fingers and hope that it, you know, stays somewhat the same as the year before. But I know, last year a lot of people ended up owing the state, not expecting it. And then this year, at least my situation and other people that I heard, it kind of went back to normal. So hopefully that was the case for most of you guys as well. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you never know each year, I guess.
It's interesting that today would be the day that we'll have Patrick Barkey on with us at 9 o'clock. Patrick Barkey, of course, formerly with the University of Montana and now on his own with the Economic Outlook he does every day on the Northern Ag Network with Dr. Patrick Barkey. He'll be joining us from 9 to 10 and, of course, taking your phone calls. And we would love to take some calls from you as well in this first hour of TalkBack. So give us a call at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And when we return from the break, we will get those calls up. I believe Nancy standing by. We're going to get Nancy's call coming up right after this quick timeout. So please stay with us.
Dennis Bragg with today's weather. Grab your jacket as you head out. We're expecting rain and potentially a few afternoon thunderstorms with highs in the mid-50s. That system will be followed by a cold front with rain transitioning into a wintry mix this evening, turning over to all snow after 9 p.m. We'll drop to a low in the upper 20s. Expect steady snow showers through Tuesday with a high only in the mid-40s. We're looking at light accumulations of about half an inch, so watch out for slick spots on those morning commutes and the mountain passes.
Meet Ingrid. Fiery spirit carrying grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000 pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number, and Nancy is waiting with a comment. Good morning, Nancy, and welcome to Open Phones. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, morning, Gloria, and thank you, Peter, for taking my phone call. I just want to share a historical footnote. Remember April 14th, 1865,
right.
President Abraham Lincoln was shot, and, of course, he died early the next morning on the 15th. It was a terrible, terrible day in our history.
Ford Theater,
and,
yes, ma'am.
You know, of course, he's always been a hero of mine. But I just want to say, I want to talk about the 2028 presidential run for the Democrat Party.
Okay.
I'm starting to hear about Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan.
Okay.
And you know that if you go back in time, Joe Biden actually wanted Gretchen Whitmer to be his running mate for his presidential run. And it was George Soros and his Black Lives Matter that talked him out of it, and they pressured him to choosing Kamala Harris. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, Gretchen's been kind of quiet. She hasn't done anything that most people do when they want to run for president. But her name is coming up now in the news. So maybe this is something that we can all think about for the opposing side, because I'm going to go for the conservative no matter what. But I just find this interesting, you know. She is... according to my family and other people I know in the state of Michigan, she's a horrible person. She's really nasty, and she's pretty tyrannical.
Wow.
And I think we saw that during the COVID, because she really pushed and pressured her way around during the COVID. And so I'm just going to keep my eye on this woman and just see where this goes. So I just thought I'd throw this out there this morning.
I'm looking at the at Ballotpedia here, the potential Democratic presidential candidates. All right, and there's almost an entire page of them. I'll just run through some of them. And these are all alphabetical order, of course. Andy Beshear is the governor of Kentucky. Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey. Pete Buttigieg, a former Secretary of Transportation, who I had talked to in this studio a couple of years ago. Let's see, Roy Cooper, Jason Crow, Andrew Cuomo, Rahm Emanuel, John Fetterman, Ruben Gallego, Kristen Gillibrand, Josh Green, Michelle Lujan Grisham, Kamala Harris, as you'd mentioned, Maura Healey, Mark Kelly, Ro Khanna, representative from California, and on we go. Josh Shapiro, getting down to the bottom, Josh Stein, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota. How about that? Raphael Warnock, senator from Georgia, and as you mentioned, Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan.
Yeah, she's, God, and none of them really would make a great president, I don't think. So
Well,
it's amazing. You know, it really is amazing. All these people, and Cory Booker, it would be terrible. I mean, I just, another lie today. He says that Iran has more power to make a nuclear weapon now than before Trump's attack. I mean, it's just, I don't know why there's so much lying in the media about anybody who's holding office anywhere. I don't care who it is, you know. I think it's just awful.
Well, I'm also looking at some of the other individuals that are running. Of course, I haven't mentioned any of the possible Republicans, but one public figure is Mark Cuban, television personality and businessman, and Somebody who did not run for the Democratic nomination, if you remember, Stephen A. Smith, the rather vocal television personality and sports journalist. So there you go.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's it for me today. So everyone have a wonderful day.
And the same to you, ma'am. Thanks for the call. I believe Charlie is waiting. Charlie, good morning. You're on Talkback, sir. What's on your mind, please?
Hey, good morning, guys. A little fun fact here. For everybody that woke up this morning, you have officially lived through the worst days of your life. And unfortunately, there's 13,000 Americans that can't say the same thing thanks to Joe Biden's immigration policy. So, just thought I'd throw that out there for everybody that likes to have those people around and are complaining about ICE rounding them up and trying to get them out of the country. That's kind of a startling figure, isn't it?
It's a lot. Yes, indeed.
Yes. So that's my gig for the day.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. It is open phones until 9 o'clock this morning. And then Dr. Patrick Barkey will be joining us, I believe, here in the studio. Is that right? Yeah, he'll be joining us here in the studio. And I love talking with Dr. Barkey because he just really has a very wry and dry sense of humor. And he's really fun to have on the show. So we're looking forward to that. But what we're also looking forward to having you on and talking about what's going on with you. Just some things. I'm wondering, are you getting a refund this year? Are you getting one, Nick? Getting a small one or big one?
I'm not going to say that, but okay, I am getting a refund. Yeah,
good. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So are we. And so we're. Matter of fact, my wife, bless her heart, we're getting a refund from the state and a refund from the feds. And so when you put those together, she said, that's enough for a trip to Spokane to go shopping.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it was funny because I mentioned going to Northern Quest on Thursday, Friday last week.
Right.
And
how'd that go?
It was fine, but you talk about shopping. When we came back, I went and, told my sister and other people, and I was like, and guess what? It wasn't a girls' trip, so we drove right by that great mall. We drove right by the outlets.
Oh,
we didn't
my.
Even look at them. And they're like, you didn't go to Nordstrom? It's like, no, we did not go to Nordstrom. You didn't go to Trader Joe's? No, we did not go to Trader Joe's. We had other things on the mind, and so it was pretty funny.
I want to see a photo of you and your dad strolling through Nordstrom's looking at stuff. I think that would be an iconic photograph. So
usually when we do go and shop, they go their way, we go our way.
Of course,
we'll hit like the Nike outlets and some other things like that. But yeah, I'm not a big shopper. So it's we do that to accommodate the ladies in the group and let them do what they got to do. And then, usually we get spoiled in other ways, get to go and, sit, maybe have lunch or do something else. But that was not what the point of this trip was.
When you've been married for 46 years, like we have, we got our 46th wedding anniversary coming up. I will say that the whole shopping thing wears out really fast, shopping together. So anyway,
they just want you to stay out of the way. that's what I do.
We're going to come right back after we have a quick break coming up. And when we come back, we have Dave standing by, and we would love to hear from you. 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. It's the Wednesday Tax Day edition of Talkback. So we will be back coming up right after this quick timeout.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
Grizzlies basketball team, they've been busy in the transfer portal this week after picking up a Division II product in Jaylen Brown from Cal State Dominguez. They followed it up with Jordan Clark, a three-year guard out of Central Washington. Clark played in 91 games, starting 84. His final season with Central Washington, he scored just under 18 points per and had 4 assists per game. He shot 39% from deep as well. ESPN reports that former Michigan Wolverines head coach Sharon Moore will miss jail time. He was sentenced to 18 months probation and fined just over $1,000 from an incident where he invaded an apartment of a staff member. And finally, Diana Rossini announced that she is resigning from The Athletic. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauerwein.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. And Dave is on the line for Open Phones. Dave, good morning, sir.
Yes, first of all, a woman showed up the White House and gave Jordan and gave Trump some burgers, and he said that she got $11,000 tax return, and later
tax refund. You mean?
Yeah, refund. Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
But she was later interviewed, and she said no. It was, she didn't get any $11,000 back from the government. It was considerably less than that. So that's, you know, again, Trump exaggerating. You know, he perpetually exaggerates, and I would be really surprised if this war with Iran ended in any time soon. He keeps saying just around the corner, basically. But I would be shocked if this ended in a few days. But you know, he keeps saying that to help the stock market. The stock market likes his attitude and keeps going up, so that's why he does it.
Well, no, are you sure it isn't because he's just the eternal optimist, or what?
Well, knowing Donald Trump, I disagree. I think he's just a con man that just likes to throw out crud that just to feed his own ego. So that's my own personal opinion. You know, do we feel great again? That's what Trump told us. You know, we're great again. America's great again. That's what he kept saying. I mean, does Americans feel great again? I'm curious what people say to that.
Well, I would imagine, again, I'm not necessarily taking the president's side, but when you're the leader of a country, you want to encourage people to think their best and be their best and move forward and work hard and all that sort of thing. And so why not have a president with an optimistic attitude? I mean, no one wants your chief executive be walking around, you know, grumbling in his beer and saying everything's horrible. I would want someone to say, hey, yeah, things are looking up. Let's look at the positives here. I know it's kind of Pollyannaistic, if you will, but why not? Why not be positive instead of negative?
Well, you know, but be realistic. This country, let's look at the numbers. 27% of all the money that the government spends is borrowed money. And he wants to increase military spending by a third or something. Be honest with the public. Admit that you know, his budget, and he's going to cut programs. Admit the pain. Admit that deficits are going to go up during his time. And not, I mean, he can pretend, and maybe everyone feels it and thinks it. But the reality is that deficits are out of control. And that, to be more honest, he should tell the public the truth rather than pretending some sort of dream world that we live in.
Well, now, do you think the government, do you think the president would be received well by Congress to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We are simply going to begin to try to tackle the national debt, chip it away bit by bit, and not worry about building new ships, building new planes, whatever. Let's try to retire our debt first. Or do you think that can be done simultaneously?
Well, you have to have a plan. He doesn't have a plan.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's the starting point. You have to have a plan to say to the public, you know, this is where we're at the budget, and what we need to do to get the balanced budget, and it's going to cost.
All right.
It's going to cost something.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Jeff's up next. Jeff, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Jess. Good morning, Montana. I really like how some people can read into things and profess knowledge of things that they have absolutely no details about. But I'm actually called in to kind of go back to the good old days, you know, look back at a little bit of nostalgia those of us, Peter, like you and I, of a certain age. Remember when you could strangle somebody with your phone because phone had cords?
Okay, yeah.
And that was often a trope in movies, if you remember.
Yes.
That's one of the things they would do is grab the telephone cord and wrap it around a person's neck.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Dial M for Murder with Grace Kelly?
Right.
That, yeah. I'm an old guy. I remember that one.
Yeah. Try doing that with a cell phone.
It's not going to happen.
I suppose you could kind of knock their heads a bit, but it's not quite the same thing. It's not going to work. So that was just my thought of the day. Empty shot, as usual. I did come across a pretty funny quip. Well, some people may not think it's funny. So there was a guy who said that, Mom said, alcohol is our enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy. So what do you do in that space?
Well, for biblical interpretation, you'll have to go somewhere else.
It's kind of a spiritual conundrum, right?
It's above my head, so to speak.
Yeah, there you go. Well, have a great day, guys.
Jeff, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. We're gonna should we get Mike's call? No, we have another caller standing by. Mike's on the line and joining us at 9 o'clock this morning, Dr. Patrick Barkey. He's actually already here in the studio this one. Yeah, Patrick's here. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. So stay with us.
So what does my friend... Dennis Bragg with today's weather. Grab your jacket as you head out. We're expecting rain and potential a few afternoon thunderstorms with highs in the mid-50s. That system will be followed by a cold front with the rain transitioning into a wintry mix this evening, turning over to all snow after 9 p.m. We'll drop to a low in the upper 20s. Expect steady snow showers through Tuesday with a high only in the mid-40s. We're looking at light accumulations of about half an inch, so watch out for slick spots on those morning commutes and the mountain passes.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning. And we are always privileged to have with us our friend, Dr. Patrick Barkey, formerly with the University of Montana, now independent and retired. And it's always good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm great. I've always been independent, by the way. It's not who you work for that matters. It's who you are, right?
Amen, brother. All right. So tell us, now you are also involved in putting together economic minutes on a daily basis, right? Still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the old ball and chain is still yes. firmly attached.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It's fun. Keeps me engaged. It's still on KGVO, slightly different format, but... Same old soap selling person doing the talking. So
well, it's always good to have you here. Now, what specifically? And by the way, the phone lines are open. One of the reasons Dr. Barkey is here is to answer your questions. If you have a question for Dr. Patrick Barkey, phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We'd love to get you on the phone with him with your questions. But right now, as we're moving forward now, it is tax day. And so what kind of impact does that have on everybody that, you know, that you work with on a regular basis?
Practically none.
Okay. All right.
Quite honestly, it's a milestone, paying taxes, but the truth is taxes are paid during the entire year. So I had to sort of groan a little bit when I heard the IRS was boasting about how big the refunds are this year, because let's flip that around the other way. That means they took too much money out last year. And in fact, everyone knew that was going to happen because the withholding tables were very slow to adjust to the changes in the big, beautiful bill or whatever it's called.
Right.
And so we ended up paying more and we're getting a bigger refund. And, you know, the ideal refund is zero. And, you know, it's not attainable.
Says you.
Well, I'd rather have the money all year, yeah, the I previous year. So right. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, taxes are there. It's interesting. One of the callers noted quite accurately how much money the federal government spends. It's not taxes. So taxes have not been much of a constraint.
Right.
At least on the current operations. They do have one unfortunate side effect that can't be ignored, however, and I think most of your listeners know this, and that is the cost of servicing the debt, which, of course, is the cumulative shortfall between revenue and taxes. And that cost is, you know, north of $1 trillion now just to service the debt, which exceeds what we pay for defense and so forth. So these are the grim numbers. They've been there for a while. I think what's on my mind, though, this morning, Peter, is really the extraordinary number of things that are the economy is fighting against if we're to continue to grow.
Okay.
We continue to get more troubling news on the economy. And, you know, I mean, there's it's a commentator said this. I'm not going to say which one. It wasn't me. But okay. I think there's some accuracy to it. And that is our president has done everything possible to destroy the economy, but he hasn't succeeded. Now, that, of course, is an overstatement, but that's intended to get a reaction. But there's some truth in the sense that the basis for much of the strength of the U.S. economy is pillar by pillar being removed. Doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to grow. It's been rather amazing how strongly we do grow, given all the obstacles. But really, with the latest news on the labor market, you know, obviously with what's going on with energy prices and inflation, you know, there's some really serious impediments out there. We'd like to talk about happier things, but there we are, and that's on my mind.
All right, so let's try to get one call in before we take a commercial break. Susan is up. Susan, good morning. You're on with Patrick Barkey. Go ahead.
Well, that leads into my question. I actually paid more taxes this year than I have in a long time. But it was because my investments did better than they had in a long time. So, and I don't, I mean, the stock market went berserk. It had never gone to 50,000 before. And so my investments did very well. But I would like to know from you your opinion, and it sounds like you've already given it, but give it to me again, where the economy stands right now, specifically in Montana. I get the impression from people that I talk to who I know who are in everyday life slugging along that they are struggling. And but then on the other hand, I hear from other people, especially those in retirement, that they are not struggling. But the people who have kids and who are working and who are trying to pay their bills, they are struggling. So I'd like your opinion on where we stand in the state of Montana.
You got it. And he will provide that for you when we come back from the break. The phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Of course, it is April 15th. It is tax day, and it's a perfect day for Dr. Barkey to be with us and sharing his views and what's going on in his world. And so we have Boyd and Rick also waiting when we come back from the break. But we're going to get to Susan's question when we return right after this quick timeout.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We are back on Talkback. 721-1290 is the number. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Dr. Patrick Barkey here in the studio. And Susan was on the line just a few minutes ago. She had some questions. So go ahead, please.
State of the economy right now, and especially in Montana. First, I'm going to start with the U.S. because the U.S. economy is actually measured better. There's more money thrown at it. The people that you know, it's a very high-profile game there, and it probably matters most for economic policy. Maybe not so much for those of us who live in Montana. It doesn't matter that much. So the U.S. economy now is quite weak. Growth is strong in terms of GDP. Employment growth is zero. It's a so-called no hire, no fire labor market out there.
Okay.
We're not. We're hiring a lot of healthcare workers, and we're not hiring a lot of other folks. And so net hiring actually went negative last time it was reported. So it's a it's an economy that's got some troubling inflation reports, with probably a lot more to come. And so policymakers are in a corner where weakness in growth can't be addressed with expansionary monetary policy because inflation is way above target. So I'll stop there. There's a lot more you could say. In terms of Montana economy, less is known, especially for where we are right now. But what we know about the Montana economy is when you look at the drivers of the economy, it's a mixed bag. I think you're seeing certainly the ag economy on the ranching side is doing fantastically well with prices where they are right now. You're looking at commodity markets, which have always been important for Montana, which are mixed. Some commodity prices up, some down. That's a little ambiguous in terms of what's going on in tourism and what's going on in tech. We're still digesting what's going on with AI in terms of tech. And what's finally what's going on with construction and immigration. It's kind of back to normal. Those who said that the economic wave of people coming to Montana was going to change the state for the next decade are right, but we're right, but the wave is a lot smaller.
Okay, all right.
And so the changes are a lot smaller. So
more of a ripple than a wave. Maybe.
Well, yeah, but it's not evenly distributed. Okay. I mean, when the COVID migration hit, man, you had every house in Lewistown got sold.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just places like Bozeman and Kalispell and Missoula. So I think so. The jury's still out on how Montana's doing. We have no indications, however, from the big picture data that we have, tax collections, unemployment rates, and so forth, that anything is really especially wrong or especially strong in the Montana economy. So that if it's following the national story, which is doubtful because it goes its own way, but it's just sort of milquetoast.
Can you say we're just kind of chugging right along or what?
Well, you always say that when you don't know anything.
That would be me, yeah.
It's interesting. I'm reading a bunch of World War II books, and there's a night naval battle. And which direction do we go? Well, I don't know. I can't see left. I can't see right. Let's go straight. You know, I mean, that's kind of how you feel a little bit about the state economy. Although there are people who know better. I mean, there's, you know, you look at what's going on in healthcare. You look at individual developments. Montana is just getting this huge dollop of money to support rural healthcare, which isn't going to move the needle. Anytime in the next month or two, but in the next couple of years, could result in some attention being paid to that festering issue. Like I say, I think the tourism economy, and you know, that's its own dynamic. So you take apart all these pieces, and that's a long way of saying I don't know. But that's the honest truth.
Now, as we're approaching the recreation season, is that something you look that you're looking at trends and how what the forecast might be for the upcoming spring and summer?
Well, spring is not the big. It's just clearly a summer related issue, and starting to pull together things. But largely, we're reactionary when it comes to tourism. We don't do a very good job of predicting it. It's hard to know what fire season is going to be like. It's hard to know how people are going to feel in terms of economic security. There is one thing that is happening throughout the economy, and that is consumers continue to spend. Consumers have a lot of – they don't say – they don't like the economy. By the way, the when you look at the sentiment indices of how people feel about the economy, is this a good time to buy, all these kind of questions that go into those sentiment indices – they're in the toilet. I mean, they're terrible. They're as low as they've ever been. But what they do in terms of how they spend is very much influenced, of course, by those at the higher end. But the higher end starts at a fairly low level. I mean, we're not talking about millionaires and billionaires.
Right.
We're talking about people who, as one of your earlier callers was talking about, with assets that have nice returns. They have good economic security. They're spending, and that's been the one constant in this entire season of turbulence, if you will, for inflation, for interest rates, for uncertainty with wars and all this sort of thing. Consumers have continued to spend. How much fuel there is for spending is uncertain, but at least for enough consumers. So that's getting into your tourism question. That's what we're getting into. There's a demographic out there that is still well-to-do, that still has unchecked things on their bucket lists, and some of those involve travel to Montana. And so I don't have a forecast for tourism. There are folks at Institute of Tourism and Recreational Research that look into that. But how long are the Canadians going to stay away? You know, there's always that kind of question. You know, there are some nice things about traveling to the U.S. You know, energy's cheaper. You know, it's close. Certainly those crossings from Canada have been down, and those mostly for political reasons.
Well, we're a minute away from a break, and so we're going to get Boyd and Rick on when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We are privileged to have with us Dr. Patrick Barkey, formerly with the University of Montana, but now, are you delightfully retired or what? How's that working?
Well, I'm as Richard Nixon said after they drummed him out of office, I'm tanned, rested, and ready, you know? I still have a brain and I try to use it, yeah, Peter. But
and you're still doing your economic minutes, right?
Yeah, I do economic minutes. I do some consulting, some energy, some work on data centers, which I'd be happy to talk about.
You bet.
Still have a toe in the energy and electricity issues as well.
Sounds good. And we are going to come right back. And phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with our special guest, Dr. Patrick Barkey. We'll be back right after this.
KGVO, this.
Hey, if you're waking up. We are back, 721. I'm getting a little tutorial here from my wonderful engineer, Nick Christensen. All right, Dr. Patrick Barkey joining us here in the studio this morning. Let's get Boyd on the line. Boyd, good morning. What's your question, sir?
No question. I'm sitting here looking at the Montana livestock tax form, and it just reminded me of a bit of verse that I've had forever. You know, Montana does charge a per capita fee on livestock, including everything from bees to bison to cattle and poultry, 7 cents a head for my chickens. All right, here's this bit of verse. Death and taxes. Tax his cow, tax his goat, tax his pants, tax his coat. Tax his crops, tax his work, tax his tie, tax his shirt. Tax his chew, tax his smoke, teach him taxes are no joke. Tax his tractor, tax his mule, teach him taxes are a rule. Tax his oil, tax his gas, tax his notes, tax his cash. Tax him good and let him know, after taxes he has no dough. If he hollers, tax him more, tax him till he's good and sore. Tax his coffin, tax his grave, tax the sod in which he lays. Put these words upon his tomb, taxes drove me to my doom. And after he's gone, he can't relax, they'll still be after inheritance tax. So that's my contribution on tax day.
Well said. Now, who wrote that, do you know?
I have no idea. It's anonymous. It's obviously pretty old.
Yeah, but, I guess.
Anyhow.
Well, thank you for the call. Patrick, your thoughts. I mean, that was pretty well done.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a pointy-headed economist brain on some of this stuff. Don't get me on the sermon mount, taxes are necessary, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what you said about the ag taxes and things that information, I didn't know exactly what those taxes were. But that, in my opinion, is one of the things that Montana needs to look at, and that is how many parts of its tax code have specific amounts in it. For example, 7 cents a head. If you keep a tax at 7 cents a head for 30 years, of inflation, that becomes a very small tax. It's still a nuisance to pay. But in terms of what it's like every tax that Montana has, and there are literally hundreds of these taxes, and I'm not here ready to recall what those 100 are.
Right.
But everything from excise taxes on tires, that is one thing, as a pointy-headed economist, if I were a consultant to the legislature, I would say, think about what you're doing with tax policy over time. You establish something that's in dollar terms or, you know, excise fuel tax. That goes counter, of course, to the impulse of every Montanan, which is we don't like taxes. We like them to shrink to zero. But in terms of policy, Montana has a lot of taxes on the books that are effectively very small taxes. They're a nuisance, but they're really not effective at raising revenue or doing what they're originally supposed to be doing. So that's completely opposite to the sentiment of your poem. But that's my reaction.
Well, let's get Rick on the line. Rick, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Patrick. I'd like to talk about fuel. Since 1977, we haven't built a major oil refinery in this country. The last one was built in Texas by Marathon Oil. Yet our drivings went from $1.3 trillion, this is mid-70s, to $3.2 trillion. It's 148% jump. Trucks and SUVs from the mid-70s have went up 650% in daily use or annual use, which they're the most, not the most fuel efficient. The state of California, they have 11 refineries, down from 23 just a few years ago, and they're going to lose, I think, three more within a year. It seems we have and California needs petroleum products, not only because they are the largest consumer of gasoline for traveling, but the ag people there in California, we all need them. We use whatever they grow. Oregon has no refinery, and I'm specifically going out west here because this is where we live. They get all their oil from Washington. I think we have more of a political problem than a fuel problem. If we can't refine fuel at a rate that we're using fuel, gas prices are going to go up. And it's ridiculous that we haven't built a refinery since the 70s and that, but our consumption of the fuel that is refined has went up 148%. So do we have a political problem or do we have a fuel problem? That would be my question.
Thanks for the call. We got about 2 minutes.
Well, we have a lot of problems, but one of them is not refinery capacity. I mean, the one huge asterisk on everything you wrote, you said, and by the way, there have been new refineries built, but they're small. North Dakota comes to mind, is the expansions at existing refineries. And counting refineries is not a good way of measuring what's going on with refining capacity, because if you looked at Montana's, what, we have four refineries in the state, I believe. If you looked at those refineries, those would fit in the parking lot, literally, of some of the refineries they have in the Gulf, where the refineries are huge. So the answer to your mystery of how we're somehow using all these larger amounts of fuel with fewer refineries is the fact that existing refineries have been expanded and expanded quite a bit. And they've been expanded quite a bit because they're profitable, et cetera. Now, why are they expanded versus being built? Well, two reasons. First is political. It's tough to build a refinery, no question about it. But it's also physical infrastructure, right? I mean, you have all the delivery infrastructure, the pipelines, the ports, all this sort of stuff. You know, really what comes to my mind with refineries is not so much, and I appreciate your concern about the West. I think that's well placed. But I think a lot about what happens with the East. That there's no refineries in New England and New York, and they're happy to get their fuel from those big Gulf refineries I mentioned. So Peter's looking at me with concern.
No,
so
I think we've got another 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. He learned how to read the keyboard there. So I think what's going on with respect to California, what's going on with refineries, really, I can't fit in 30 seconds. But I will say that, and I think a lot of listeners know this, that there's not perfect substitutability between refineries and states. So a refinery, if California is running low, they need more gasoline, they want to buy it from Arizona, but, you know, it's a different mix, it's a different formula, and it can't be done.
We're going to come right back after the top of the hour, and we still have Rita, Dave, and Jeff, if you guys don't mind holding. We will be back after the...
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of TalkBack on this Wednesday, April 15th. TalkBack this morning brought to you by Y-West Storage. Secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. To reserve your unit today, call 510-0590. Quality seamless gutters, expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, call 728-4002. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts and service. Call 541-9097. Busy Bees Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. For a free estimate, call Busy Bees, 550-3219. And Gomer's Diesel Incorporated, diesel repair, parts and service in Missoula, 728-7620.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
We are back. This is TalkBack. Peter Christian here. Mr. Nick Christensen over there. And joining us in the studio, Dr. Patrick Barkey. And we have folks have been waiting all the way through the break. So let's go ahead and get a call on before we take another commercial break. Rita, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I know there is... Montana is, I don't even want to call it a target, but they're looking at building AI data centers in Montana. My concern is mostly about the potential for electricity costs to go up and how this will impact water usage. And it just always seems that corporations tend to benefit more than the state. And I guess my question is, what could our legislature do to ensure that the companies pay their fair share of it and that the Montana residents don't end up kind of taking it in the shorts?
Good question. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. The first thing I would say is AI investment is real. It's not something that we're just talking about conceptually. The AI infrastructure spending this year is supposed to be around $700 billion, which if you want to think about what that means, it means almost as much is being spent this year on AI construction than is being spent on all residential construction of all types across the entire country. So it's a huge deal. The second thing I would say about it is that in a zero-sum world, in other words, if we're all fighting over the same amount of electricity, then there's no question that increase in AI capacity will put a huge squeeze on electricity supplies. It's going to make them much, much dearer. There's a million ways in which the cost of electricity would go up. No question about it. But you notice I said in a zero-sum world, because what we're finding is that we have built new electric capacity at such a slow rate over the last three decades or so that's all we think about is we're fighting over the same amount of electricity. And regardless of AI, we know we need more electricity generation and, for that matter, transmission capacity. So I think the construction of AI has to go along with the construction of electric capacity as well. How can we prevent that construction from not boosting prices? Well, think about it. If electricity is a regulated industry and the price is based on a fair rate of return on infrastructure in place, so if you increase the amount of electric infrastructure just by design, rates will go up. So no matter what in other words, flip it around. One reason why we haven't built any new electric capacity is because people don't like rate increases. So they're clobbered to push back. So that's where we are. And I think the way to ensure it is already happening, and that is these companies that are placing big new demands on the grid are going to be responsible for also increasing electric supply.
All right. Our guest here in the studio, Dr. Patrick Barkey, and we will continue here in just a moment. Dave and Jeff are both waiting very patiently. Stay with us, everybody. And the phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming back for more after this.
Dennis Bragg with today's weather. Grab your jacket as you head out. We're expecting rain and potentially a few afternoon thunderstorms with highs in the mid-50s. That system will be followed by a cold front with the rain transitioning into a wintry mix this evening, turning over to all snow after 9 p.m. We'll drop to a low in the upper 20s. Expect steady snow showers through Tuesday with a high only in the mid-40s. We're looking at light accumulations of about half an inch, so watch out for slick spots on those morning commutes and the mountain passes.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy. But if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Welcome back to the Wednesday, Tax Day, April 15th edition of Talk Back. And it's a wonderful coincidence that Dr. Patrick Barkey is joining us on Tax Day, which is kind of cool. But we have lots of folks lined up to visit with you, sir. Dave has been waiting the longest. So, Dave, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to talk about oil again. First of all, you know, Trump has said that we don't need any oil. We have all the oil we can use. That is not exactly accurate. The fact of the matter is oil varies. Canadian oil is different than Louisiana oil, and oil refineries are different. Montana four refineries can't handle Louisiana oil. Our refineries are designed and built to handle Canadian oil, and that's where most of the oil that runs those refineries comes from. Now, if Canada has a pipeline going to the West Coast, and it's not full, if prices are better on the world market than in the U.S. market, It's very easy for Canada, instead of shipping the oil down to Montana and benefiting from it, and if they can benefit more from the world market, they will pump it on the pipeline to the rest of the world. So, I mean, and our refineries could be SOL if they don't get enough oil. So, I mean, it's a world market, and we are vulnerable to it.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Dr. Barkey, go ahead.
I don't have too much to add to that other than the, I don't know if it's tit for tat in terms of capacity going south and capacity going west. The one going west is fairly new. It's accurate, but I think the thing about oil is it's a global commodity, and it's a little jarring to hear in the same sentence that we have enough oil and yet it costs a lot more because of something that's happening in a place where we don't get any oil from. But that's the way commodity markets work. Ask a wheat farmer. I mean, it's what happens in Kazakhstan matters a great deal for how much the wheat they sell, even if it never goes anywhere near those markets. So, That's a reality I think Americans, I don't know if we all accept it, but we can't say we're surprised by it.
Well, it is indeed a world market, and the longer it takes for people to not just buy into that, but try to understand it and work with it, it may be better for them.
Well, it's a reality. I would emphasize, as many others have, it's not just oil, it's fertilizers, it's natural gas. It's some other commodities that are bulk shipped in both directions to that area of the world. So it's a busy place. One of the things I made kind of a facetious crack about how our president is working on destroying everything that's helping the economy grow. And that was, like I say, a little bit stronger than I actually feel. But I think one of those things that's been pointed out, which has been there for so long, we've taken it for granted, and that was free passage on international waterways, which has been a hallmark of trade and something that has brought Americans great prosperity and also lower prices. Some people don't like trade. They think it puts them out of work. I mean, there's a lot of give and take. But the point I'm making is that the movement of goods in bulk with these huge ships has been really part of global growth for decades and decades. And it remains to be seen how that's going to survive in the coming years.
Has it been kind of under the radar? Because we just take for granted those boats are going to be unimpeded going to and for with their commerce, and we don't need to worry about it. Now, all of a sudden, that part of the world is very dangerous.
Well, we always worry about it, and that's not the only part of the world that's dangerous.
Yeah.
But the fact is that even among countries that have violently different political persuasions, there's been this agreement that the free flow of commerce is good for everyone. I mean, look at the Ukraine war. I mean, there was right into the teeth of that war, Ukraine and Russia, countries that were killing each other, were still honoring contracts and selling goods and services, particularly energy goods and services, across those borders. So when that erodes, we move into a much more, I would call it a feudalistic kind of world where I've got this, you've got that. I'm withdrawing this, I'm blocking that. And ultimately what that does is it makes all the savings and all the benefits of global trade, and not even talking about the problems with it, it makes them harder to realize. And that's been a huge, important factor in prosperity over the last post-World War II
period. Okay, let's get another call in before we have to take a break. Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Barkey. So many things I wanted to talk about, but I think the most important ones are refineries, pipelines, and then electricity. Very briefly on refineries and pipelines, the one new refinery is going in the Gulf Coast, and California has had refineries closed, but not because California closed them, but because they made the work environment so hostile to Chevron, I believe. That Chevron said, no, we're going to close it and we're moving out. We just can't afford to do it anymore. So that was a regulatory result by California. It was an unintended consequence. I looked very briefly at pipelines, and there's 24 total new pipeline projects in 16 different states. And only one of those is out west. It's in New Mexico. All the others are, and one is in Nevada. So Nevada and New Mexico. All the rest are in the central or mostly in the east and the southeast. So there are no new pipeline stuff, things going on here. Regarding data centers, I believe there's a push by the Trump administration to have what they call CRE, which stands for Consumer Regulated Electricity, which is just a way of saying that if you want to build a data center, you got to bring your own electricity, and you're responsible for it, and you don't get to suck off of the grid because, like you said, that will just raise prices for everybody. But that made me think of something, and I don't think I've ever heard you comment on this before, but the Texas grid is all by itself. I mean, the whole Texas area is interconnected at only one or two places, I believe. And they have what they call the ERCOT, the Electricity Reliability Council of Texas.
Jeff, hang on the phone for just a second. We're going to up against a break. We'll be right back.
Montana State News Network. It didn't take long, but the Montana Board of Regents say they found the man they want to lead the University of Montana, Dr. Jeremiah Shin, who's been working over at Boise State University, will be coming in to be the school's top spot. Yesterday, the Regents approved that brand new contract. Commissioner of Higher Education Clayton Christian says the process was thorough, but it was effective. He lauded Shin, saying the search helped to find a finalist that met the leadership's characteristics the search team had been looking for.
As we evaluated candidates, Dr. Shin consistently rose to the top. He aligns closely with the qualities that we identified through that process, brings a depth of academic and administrative experience, and demonstrates a clear and consistent commitment to student success. Just as importantly, I believe he understands and reflects the value, culture, and trajectory of this institution.
Shin coming in to fill the vacancy left with President Seth Bodner, who stepped down to run for U.S. Senate. Is there really more snow in the forecast this week? Well, yes, because you know the expression in Montana is actually April snow showers bring May flowers. Wind and weather advisories are up for many areas as we head into Thursday, especially in southwest Montana, in the Gallatin and Madison Valleys and along the Rocky Mountain front. There's not a lot of snow accumulation in the forecast except at pass level and above. We could see a few inches in some of the higher valleys, but there is some potential for snow squalls, so drive carefully out there and stay tuned. Our full statewide forecast will be coming up in a few minutes. North Central Montana is bracing for a dry summer. The DNRC announcing that the state is officially entering its sixth consecutive year of drought, with low elevation snowpack melting nearly a month ahead of schedule. Officials are warning that water supplies for agriculture and ranching will be tight across the High Line. Producers are being encouraged to begin their water conservation efforts right now.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country this spring. More than just a walk, Moving Day is a fun experience that unites the community in the fight against Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's doesn't stop, and neither will we. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register for an event in your area at movingdaywalk.org. That's movingdaywalk.org.
Okay, we are back on Talk Back. Dr. Patrick Markey joining us in the studio. And Jeff, you were right in the middle of making a point, and we had to cut you off. So please go ahead.
That's fine. I understand the new paradigm. Dr. Markey, the point I was trying to make is that ERCOT, the Electricity Reliability Council of Texas, has a pricing scheme where just about anybody can bring electricity to the market. And the price varies by day, by hour, by minute, sometimes based on who's supplying what. My example is that my daughter lives in Round Rock, just north of Austin, and her electricity from 9 in the evening until I believe 6 in the morning is free. They don't pay for any of it because the rates are really high in the day. And so she has adjusted her schedule around that. And we in Montana don't have that kind of an environment. We have, you know, Northwestern is the one big giant in the room. And then you have your individual co-ops. But do you see any way that we could bring something like that to Montana to allow folks to kind of compete in a market within Montana and maybe address prices there? And I know I gave you a couple other things ahead of before that. But whatever you want to comment.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to spin a little roulette wheel because each of those areas would take quite a bit of time to address. Let me take your last one. First of all, ERCOT's wholesale market. Wholesale prices, I think you'd be surprised. Well, you wouldn't be surprised probably, but a lot of listeners might be surprised at how much wholesale prices do vary. In fact, you may have seen some of the graphs that say, okay, here's the wholesale price of electricity during this very cold day, or a day when the weather's changing, or a day when there's some kind of outage at some generator or whatever. And they vary tremendously. And utilities really spend a lot of time and money trying to predict the market and make the trades that are best for them and their customers. That really doesn't have much to do with what happens at the retail level, though. I think when you talk about time-varying rates, which is yet another huge issue, you won't find too many economists that are against that. The whole idea of charging a price for electricity that reflects its scarcity makes perfect sense to us. But I'll tell you, just from the tiny, tiny bit of peak pricing that happens where I live, which happens to be Missoula Electric Cooperative territory, and that is my wife hates it.
Okay.
She hates being told when to use electricity, and I'm thinking, well, that's the way it is. I mean, it's pretty expensive to use electricity in the morning. Prices should reflect that. But that's a retail decision. Retail is regulated by the PSC. But in terms of wholesale price all over the place, the last thing I would say about ERCOT, and this does not exhaustively address all the things that you had, is it's a rather strange region to emulate. And I say that because they spectacularly failed. What was it, 5 years ago? When they had the winter storm that amply demonstrated the value of electric power, because a huge swath of Texas was without power and the economic losses were enormous, and it really opened the lid on how some of these ERCOT policies had encouraged a little bit too much risk-taking and a little bit not enough prudent behavior, so that when there were some physical failures in their system, it led to a catastrophe that cascaded throughout the system. Now, maybe that's not fair. I mean, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of interesting ideas. But I think that's ultimately where we want to be, right? I mean, we want to see innovation, and we want to learn from each other's mistakes, maybe even from our own mistakes. But I'm not sure ERCOT is a shining example of how to run a grid right now.
Well, who's the grown up in the room when it comes to, well, it didn't matter who's got invested in what, we need to get power to these people at this particular time.
Well, there's a lot of grown ups in the room. I mean, there's some very competent, very smart people that worry all the time about things that you and I take for granted.
Sure.
Jeff mentioned CRE, consumer. I can't remember what that stands for, but it's a consumer grid. Basically, it's an alternate grid that data centers. I mean, suppose you're a data center and somebody says, "Well, you know, you got to build a power plant," and it's like, "Well, really? I mean, that's kind of expensive, but if you're using power, you need to build it. That makes sense." So you have opportunity to get involved in a business that is has retail implications. But it's separate, and I think that's interesting. I think it's something that is potentially threatening to existing power providers. But if we're to really meaningfully grow, and the forecasts for data centers and power usage coming up, let alone data centers, let's talk about electrification. Let's talk about electric vehicles. Let's talk about carbon emissions. Let's talk about all these things that point to using more electricity. This might be one way to proceed that would get things going a lot faster.
All right, let I got another minute, so please go ahead, expand on that.
Well, there's. Let me touch on a couple other things. I talked about data centers, the pipeline construction issue. Let me just throw another thing out there, and that's to say, pipelines are good and they're bad. They're bad because you got to cut a whole swath of territory and it's got to be continuous and so forth. Approvals like crazy, you know, et cetera. They're also potentially bad because they're captive. If you have a pipeline, you can only sell to the person at the end of the pipeline.
Right.
Compare that with tankers. If you have a ship and you fill it with oil, you can float that baby wherever you can get the best price. Right.
Right.
And the truth is, I mentioned earlier how there are so few refineries in the East, and those are served by pipelines for one reason, and that's because the Jones Act does not allow U.S.-flagged freighters with oil, and you're pointing at me, and I got to stop.
We're going to come right back. Stay with us. We have more folks waiting on the phone. We'll be back right after this quick timeout, so stay with us.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move. When being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 15th, Tax Day edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Dr. Patrick Barkey joining us here in the studio this morning. And he's an economist answering your questions today. And Harry has been waiting through the break. So, Harry, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Patrick. Yeah, there's an old saying, you know, it's easier to destroy something than it is to build it up. And I think the economy is even more so. Although, like, the government, there's only so much the government can do to build the economy, but it really takes not much to really hurt the economy. And I'm just thinking about the war and the, you know, price of oil and gas and all that. And I look at, like, the pandemic, you know, they shut down the economy pretty much, and then they pretty much brought it back fairly quickly, but the ramifications took a lot longer to, you know, build up. And Trump keeps saying, well, you know, this, as soon as the war's over, everything's going to be, you know, spring back. And I think how much that is pretty much wishful thinking. He's always, you know, as a politician, he's looking towards the next election, of course. So I'm wondering how much is that, you know, wishful thinking that there always seems to be a lag time, too, when there's, you know, something coming back. The economy takes a while also from, you know, the initial downspout, it takes a while for that to, you know, show up, and then it also takes another long time for when they bring it back to have the positive comeback. So,
yeah, good points. I think I agree with you in the sense that government, I would put it a slightly different way, and that is government has a hard time doing things that grow jobs, but has no problem doing things that destroy jobs. And I'm not saying our current administration is doing anything of the sort. But there are a lot of bad ideas out there, and if you want to hear some, just, you know, look at some of the campaign promises being made in this upcoming, still far away, thankfully, presidential election. I think there are some things that the president could do that would be more helpful than simply wishing for things to get better after the war, after this. I think there's clearly things that could be done in the regulatory sphere that could meaningfully grease the wheels for economic growth and risk taking. It can't make investments happen. There has to be the confidence and the opportunity for investment. But for everything from permitting to infrastructure support, I mean, there's some apolitical things that could be done. That quite frankly used to be right in the center of the Republican Party's wheelhouse, that are not happening, or you know, there's just so many opportunities out there, everything from supporting drug research, transportation bottlenecks. I started to talk just before the break about the Jones Act, which doesn't allow ships that go between domestic locations to be foreign owned, and so the enormous tanker fleet and the crews and so forth that would could usefully and cheaply ship things around the waters around our country. I mean, 80% of the population of the U.S. lives east of the Mississippi River.
Right,
and you know, there's waterways. At any rate, I can get started on this kind of stuff. So. I'm just amplifying what you already said. I think what you said is I would agree with that sentiment. And I think that, you know, this would be a good time. This would be a good time to, quite frankly, abandon tariffs. It's a failure. They haven't raised revenue. They've been declared illegal. They have not moved the needle on manufacturing investment in this country. They have not produced what they're supposed to be producing, which was doubtful to begin with. And, you know, now we're in a period of fragile economic growth. Wouldn't that be a breath of fresh air if we could back away and say, we tried it, it didn't work, let's go to plan B. You know, that's Pat Barkey sitting in a studio in Missoula talking with absolutely no impact on anyone's thinking. But those kinds of things could help. So I think that's in that spirit. I think there's things we could do that are a little bit stronger than just hoping.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good time for a reset. So thank you.
Thanks for the call. I would imagine it's very, very difficult for someone in a position such as the president of the United States to say, you know what, I was really wrong about that. I went down the wrong path. But hey, this individual has a really good idea. And so we're going to go with that. Would that destroy his credibility or his strength or power or what? Or would it make him look like a reasonable person?
Well, in that spirit, let me tell you a quick little story. When the Americans started World War II, its torpedoes didn't work. They didn't fire. They were duds. And the reason why they didn't work is they were tied up in bureaucracy. There were turf battles all over the place. What should they do? It should be big, should be small, this kind of proposal, all this sort of stuff, okay? The war started, it didn't work. Guess what? That got fixed, all right? It got fixed because it had to be fixed. I don't think we feel that same imperative with policy, but I think we should. And if there's policies that aren't working, we should eat crow and fix it and move on.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have Al waiting to visit with Dr. Barkey. And the phone lines are open, by the way. He'll be here for another 20 minutes, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming back with more Talk Back right after this.
Worried about...
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org.
Listen, retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Dr. Patrick Barkey, our special guest, and let's get Al back on the line. Al, good morning. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead, please.
Oh, it was either a month or two ago. The subject was electricity rates, and someone from Ravalli County called in and said that I can't think of the name of the electricity company down in Ravalli County. It's not Northwestern. Anyway, their rates were, according to the caller, the rates were much, much higher between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And I asked my sister, who lives around Corvallis, about that. She knew nothing about it. Is that true, that the rates are considerably higher on this electricity company in Ravalli County? Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I'm not a member of that co-op. I'm a member of Missoula Co-op. And you really ought to get some of those folks on the program to unpack that. So let me just say a couple things about co-ops. First off, they're facing higher costs themselves, not only because of the storms, but because of what's going on with where they purchase their electricity from. I would not be surprised if it were true. I do know that on my own bill from Missoula Electric Co-op, there's a peak charge, and the peak charge is fairly significant. I don't know what the formula is for that. I made a joke about how my wife doesn't like it, and it's true. She doesn't like it, but nobody likes it when they get an extra charge on their bill, but that's what's that reflecting. I'm not going to say whether that's good or bad, particularly since I don't know how it's designed, but to the extent that it reflects their own costs, what they pay to get electricity between 7 a.m. and, by the way, it's typically a weekday rate, not a weekend. But if it reflects their costs, there's a lot of sense to it, and I suspect that as we go ahead, and there's more pressure on companies of all kinds to build and therefore add to the rate base, that you'll see more, not less, of those time variant prices in practice.
Oh, we just got a letter. My wife and I just got a letter from Northwestern Energy, and it said, you know, we're looking at your power usage from the past year, and you were paying this now because you're using more energy, and it cost us to give you that energy. Now your bill is going up by like $30 or $40 a month. So,
well, in the Northwestern, as a regulated sphere, it's a slightly different situation, but they built more capacity. I mean, they built... they've incurred other costs as well. And that's the way it's paid for. You know, I mean, when you build a expensive gas power plant, and as they did in Laurel, that cost is ultimately paid for through rates. It's a strange system, by the way. It's been around for so long that nobody even questions it. But normally, if you build something new, it's more efficient. It brings down costs.
Right.
But that's not the way the utility game is played. It hasn't been played that way for more than a century. When you build, you pay more. It's a well-known phenomenon, and it greatly encourages utilities to try to build as much as they can and increases the distrust between utilities and customers, because customers say with some justification that you're just trying to get more and more money in rates. And guess what? They're a business like every other business. That's what they need. They need revenue.
They have shareholders. Things
like that. Well, I mean, because otherwise what happens is if they don't build anything, then their existing generation physically depreciates. And it may not depreciate, by the way. They may be pouring a lot of money into it to keep it up to date.
Right.
But it from an accounting point of view, it depreciates and their rates go down. So if they don't build anything, you know... And so that's the dynamic. So
it's build, baby, build.
Well, and it's the question is, what do you expect to see? I mean, this is what economists say all the time. Look at the incentives. The incentive is to build a lot, and that's not all bad. All right, but there's no competition. That's the one thing customers don't like.
Right.
And the second thing they don't like is they associate building with higher bills. And so if you don't build and you don't build and you don't build, guess what happens to safety margins in terms of being able to power the economy and overcome, have a resilient system that can survive situations of everything from wildfire to, you know, unexpected maintenance problems, you know. So it's a funny system, but that's what we've got. And that's a long-winded way of saying, yep. More building and more flexibility on rates. I see that in our future.
Let's get Dave on. Dave, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Barkey. Go ahead.
Yeah, about trade. I'd like to talk about the United States in 2024 sold to Europe $76 billion in military equipment that created jobs in the States. But, and it was important, yes. United States have been wanting Europe to spend more money on defense, and more of it came to the United States for a while. But now their Europeans' attitude has changed, and they're now building factories to make their own military equipment instead of buying from ours. And it's upsetting Trump, because he wanted Europe to spend more money, but he wanted it to spend that money in the United States. But because of political push, it's that ball has changed. The attitude has gone differently.
All right. Thanks for the call. Dr. Barkey.
Okay. I'm not sure what that has to do with trade. I mean, that's just the push and pull of international politics. That sort of operates in the background everywhere you go, be it Middle East. You know, we give Egypt a lot of foreign aid. Guess what? They use a lot to buy American equipment. Oh, look, if Europeans want to build factories, by the way, it's one of the most expensive places in the world to operate a factory because of the high cost of labor and high cost of electricity. But that's, this is the push and pull of international politics. I don't know if it has much to do with the economy, Does it move the needle? Well, yeah. I mean, the defense industry in the U.S. is an important industry in some parts of the country, and it matters. But that's the nature of that business. I mean, it's governments that spend money on defense. Defense, I should say. Let me not be talk like a football person here and talk like a politician. So, and since governments are doing the spending, politics is involved.
We're going to come right back. Stay with us. Another 8 minutes with Dr. Barkey. If you have a question, give us a call, 721-1290. The phone lines are open. We will be returning with our final segment with Dr. Barkey after this.
Looking for hope? This is the captain. I want to invite you to join us every Friday morning from our local fishing program, Catching the Big Ones, live on the banks of Brooks at Paradise Falls. We'll help you get ready for a weekend of fishing with area reports and advice and try to make you a winner with our weekly trivia. Catching the Big Ones every Friday morning, 8 to 9, live from Paradise Falls on News Talk, KGVO AM 1290 and FM 98.3.
We are back. This is Talk Back. Final segment here with Dr. Patrick Barkey. And phone lines are open and free. If you have a question for Dr. Barkey on things economic, give us a call at 721-1290. We'd love to hear from you in this last time, our time together. So anything else? Obviously, you are, even though you're retired, you are working on various projects.
Because I'm retired, I'm working on various projects.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Your brain doesn't shut off. I'd like to return for a moment to talk about the challenges for the economy, particularly how that affects certain industries like housing. I think there's the new development on housing in Montana is that markets have cooled. It's that we're seeing inventory levels even in really hot markets return to what I don't know the realtors tell us are healthy levels. I think the stability in prices, however, is not what buyers say they need. They need lower prices, and it could happen. But in terms of rents, that's happening. But I think this economic malaise that we're in, where we're kind of at the precipice of some economic difficulty with the national economy. I'm not saying we're going to go there, but I think the
what sort of difficulties?
Well, I mean the hiring. I mean, for one thing, is this a good time to invest? Is this a good time to hire? Clearly, the verdict of businesses is no. Whether that's in the case of AI affected hiring, where they say they don't need as many workers, or whether that's because of the softness in global markets. This oil price increase is really a big deal for many, many large economies around the world. And those economies buy a lot of stuff from us. Not necessarily goods, some in services. Places like Japan and Korea or even India are massively impacted by the availability and the price of oil and energy and some of the other commodities that have been disrupted from the war. That's just another challenge. For the economic activity. So it's easy to list the challenges, but how do they translate into what's happening with important things like housing? I think the prospects of interest rate cuts are dead.
Really?
Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, you look at the last readout on inflation showed inflation spiking up even before what's happening with energy markets and transportation costs and so forth are factored in. So we're talking about a Fed. If they were to lower interest rates now, they would completely lose all credibility in terms of being honest managers of inflation and employment in the economy. They would become cheerleaders or something else. And I think you would see markets affected accordingly. They would stop paying attention to what the Federal Reserve said. They would start taking their own plans for dealing with the economic conditions and not count on the Fed to be managing the economy in such a way as to provide a good environment for making future looking business decisions. So I think those are dead. I think for that reason, I think interest rates are where they're going to be. I think construction has softened considerably.
What are for those who are just driving around? What are interest rates right now?
Well, interest rates right now, policy rates are high threes, low fours.
Right.
Mortgage rates are they're above six, I believe. I mean, your listeners have better access to a
right.
keyboard right now. They
sure.
can answer that.
Right.
Answer that question. So I think there's a lot of things healing in housing. Particularly regarding what's going on with the balance between buyers and sellers, and I think that matters for a lot of Montana markets. But I think the optimism that that more building was going to make Montana housing, which, by the way, is one of the least affordable in the country, at least in some of the faster-growing markets, faster-growing, most popular places in the state, is going to somehow make some quick progress on affordability. It's not going to happen. If affordability is going to improve through the slow process of incomes growing faster than housing prices, and I think the prospects that are good, but you know, don't look for anything really to be healing there. But I like I say, I'm concerned about where the economy is going. I'm concerned about, obviously, I'm concerned about what's going on with the war, what's going on with national security, what's happening with some of the economies of our major trading partners. But we're on the edge of something that is going to be painful in the next year or two if we can't get a little more stability and a little more help, quite frankly, as I outlined earlier, from government to help the economy you know, have more tailwinds and fewer headwinds.
What we have 2 minutes left. So what kind of things can the government, quote unquote, do to try to ameliorate this situation or make it easier on the average consumer?
Well, the first thing would be, the average consumer, I mean, consumer by definition, you're talking about buying things. And of right. course, what could make things better is to get a better handle on inflation. And unfortunately, that's going to be a very difficult problem to solve. It's one that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed wholeheartedly through policy, and that there could be some pain. There's no easy solution to that
right.
Without pain. But I would say, in terms of creating a better environment for growth, would first off stop doing the things that are hurting us. Okay, and we haven't talked about immigration the whole call. How is that possible? No one called and talked about immigration. That's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah,
because. You know, I think while we're on the list of things that's not working, I would add to that the scale of immigration enforcement is not working. I mean, it's as obvious as the nose on your face, since I'm looking at your face right now, not my own. If I were in the mirror, I'd be looking at my own. But I'm certainly not going to dive into that pool too deeply, but I would just put it on the list. Of things, if we could have a little more certainty and a little more rationality and a little less rhetoric on some of these issues dealing with regulation. I haven't talked about healthcare. I haven't talked about some of those things. There's a lot of things we could improve with what we're doing.
Dr. Barkey, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for taking calls and answering all of our questions.
Even though Dr. Barkey's really my brother, thank you very much.
All right. Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow, sir?
We're going to have open phones from 8 to 9, and then 9 to 10, we'll have OPI Superintendent Susie Hedelin on the phone.
All right, good deal. So, again, a big thanks to Dr. Patrick Barkey, and thanks to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, for making this a great day. We'll see you.